What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. There's a fella named Drew Holden. And let me pull up his bio. He's got a Substack. I think he's a contributor at the Washington Free Beacon. He's written for various conservative publications for years. But I found this at his Substack, which I think is called Holden Court, H-O-L-D-E-N Court. Drew Holden is his name. And the headline on this piece is "The Media Buried What Was So Important About the Hunter Biden Laptop." And because of the conviction on the three counts on the gun charges, right, a lot of people are kind of missing the forest for the trees, or missing the trees for the forest, or whatever, right? They're, remember where all of this stuff started was in 2020. We became aware of it in 2020, but it had actually started a year prior, when the guy who owns the laptop repair company, or used to, I think they finally ran him out of business, the lefties did, up in Delaware. And he had turned over the laptop to the FBI. The FBI then verified that it was, in fact, legitimate. They had the information on it. And they had it for like a year. And then the New York Post got wind of the story because nothing had come of it. And the laptop owner, as I understand it, gave a copy of the hard drive to Rudy Giuliani. Now, as I understand it also, he had given copies of it to other media outlets who also didn't do anything with it. And so we became aware October 14th, 2020, when the New York Post ran a story with a headline, "Smoking Gun Email Reveals How Hunter Biden Introduced Ukrainian Businessman to VP Dad." Right? The focus of the story was not Hunter Biden. The laptop was used in order to verify the larger story, which was what? The Biden crime family. The corruption. That's what the story was about. It wasn't about Hunter Biden. It was that his laptop had been left. And by the way, this also came out in testimony as well in the trial that wrapped up a couple of days ago with the verdicts. That Hunter Biden would leave his phone like everywhere. He would leave devices. There was a story there. Okay, so, oh, what's her name? I'm trying to remember her name. The woman that he fathered the child with down in Arkansas, she wrote a book. And in that book, she talks about her relationship with Hunter Biden in that time period. And she tells several stories of how he would leave his cell phone all over the place. He would go through so many cell phones because he would just leave them, which makes sense, right? If you're battling addiction, it's not, you know, top of mind, I guess, and you just leave your phone, whatever. But like, there was one occasion where some guy on the street was asking for money. Hunter Biden literally gives the guy his jacket, gives him his coat. Well, in the coat was also his phone and a bunch of crack. So he had to go back to the guy and be like, "Hey, can I get the crack back?" No, actually, he just asked for the phone back. He let him keep the crack. According to the book, I don't know if it's true. I'm just telling you that that's what she says occurred, right? As an eyewitness. And that is a kind of testimony. She's not under oath, obviously, but she wrote a book and she told that story. So he had a history and a propensity for leaving his devices all over the place, which any journalist would have known had they done any kind of research into the story. Right? He has a history of this. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility that he would leave a laptop at the store, which, by the way, a lot of Democrats and media, but I repeat myself, claimed that nobody leaves their laptop at the store. Yeah, of course, nobody does that, which is why they've got a policy in place, right? That's why they have protocols in place for when people leave their devices at the stores, because people do that, and he is one of them. Anyway, New York Post did the story, and their first line was, quote, Hunter Biden introduced his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at a Ukrainian energy firm, Burisma, less than a year before Joe Biden pressured Ukrainian government officials into firing a prosecutor who was investigating that very company. That's the story. That has always been the story, right? Corruption and influence peddling has always been the story. But as Drew Holden outlines in this piece at his Substack page, I mean, and it is lengthy. It's like half a dozen pages if you don't even print out all the screenshots, because this is what he takes screenshots of all of the media reports that he references in his piece. Because the thing about these publications are on the internet is they change them, and he documents the changes. They'll make changes to headlines, which one of the publications does right out of the gate, right? Because they shift the focus from Joe to Hunter, and they make it about Hunter Biden and about his laptop. The story is about Hunter Biden's laptop and his addiction and the pictures and the video and the drugs and whatever. No, that's not the story. And that wasn't the New York Post story either. The story was about the corruption. But that was a little bit trickier for the campaign to rebut. So they had to make it about Hunter, which is what it's been for 4 years, right? Unless, of course, you listen to this program, you listen to WBT, you consume conservative media, because conservative media has been the industry that has been ripping apart this story. They've been chasing down the leads, doing the interviews, getting the confirmation. When the Republicans took over in the House, they then got access, you know, to subpoena power, and then they were able to get documents and such. They were able to call witnesses and advance the ball. But when the first story came out, the mainstream media cried foul. And what happened? We all remember, right? Social media giants, Twitter and Facebook, they made it impossible to share the story. They even prevented you from sending a link to the story in your direct messages. And I attempted to do this, and it was blocked. I tested it to make sure, to see if this was true, and it was true. You could not send the link to anybody. They blocked the link in your direct messages, in essentially your email account that's tied to Facebook, right? That's the Facebook messaging and Twitter. The companies pointed back to their fact-checking and third-party partners who had flagged the New York Post story, right? So they had fact-checkers. Remember back in the good old days when they employed all of these leftists to be their, quote, fact-checkers, right? Well, they cited the fact-checkers as the reason why they censored the story. But those partners were the same mainstream media outlets that were trying to smother the news, which, like, there's the old axiom. I think it was Iowa Hawk Blog, David Berg, Iowa Hawk Blog. That's his Twitter account. I think, or maybe it was Jim Treacher. I forget, who had said something on the order of, being a journalist means covering the news, .. with a pillow. Right? So, like, to snuff out stories that are inconvenient for your party, for your friends, for your allies. So they use these, quote, third-party partners, but those are the same media outlets that are ignoring the story, trying to smother the story, and then those publications turn around and they use the decisions from the social media companies to validate their own disbelief of the reporting. But they were the ones that said it wasn't true. But then they cite Twitter shutting it down as proof that it's not true. But that came from you. This is circular logic. right, this is it's laundering a narrative. Drew Holden, writing at his Substack, detailing the corruption of the mainstream media. That's what this is, right? I don't mean corruption like give me an envelope of money and, you know, I'll do this thing for you. I'm talking about like the ethical corruption, the devaluation of standards, ethics, morals, that sort of thing, and professionalism. When the New York Post ran its story in October 2020 about how Joe Biden was introduced to the Burisma officials, and then a couple months later got the prosecutor fired that was going after Burisma, that was the focus of the story. But that shifted because the details that came out of the laptop were so damning. And so the focus then shifts to Hunter Biden. At the same time, an important detail of the story gets transmuted, he calls it. The scoop was fundamentally about corruption allegations against now President Joe Biden. The story would henceforth, though, be covered as about his son. But the story really took on a life of its own on October 19th when Politico published a piece titled, quote, "Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say." That article alleged that according to a group of wise and respected elder statesmen of the intelligence community who had no dog in this fight whatsoever, was in fact Russian propaganda, the same boogeyman that had helped get Trump impeached mere months before. I was talking about this topic last night on the live stream, and one of the participants said that they felt like that first impeachment was due to Trump asking Zelensky for the information and he was getting too close. Right? Sniffing around Ukraine, too close for comfort. Everybody knew it. So it's like we gotta nip this in the bud. We gotta stop this. So Politico's article was what Drew Holden calls the starting gun for the rest of the press. Right? They then picked up the Russian disinformation claim, and that's what it was. James Clapper, former director of national intelligence, who signed on to that BS letter. He said it was, quote, classic textbook Soviet Russian tradecraft at work. And the laptop story might also not be true, too. No, I'm kidding. Like, yes, like what they were engaged in, what Clapper was engaged in, it bears the hallmarks of the very thing that he is projecting onto Donald Trump. NPR, remember this? NPR, to their lasting shame, said, "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories, and we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distraction." Pure distraction. Whether or not the man running for president might be compromised. You guys seem to care when it was Trump, right? Very concerned that Donald Trump is compromised. I remember all of those stories. I read those stories on my show in an effort to convince people that, hey, you know what? This guy might not be the best guy to nominate back in 2015. I failed in my persuasion efforts. But you guys seem to care a lot when it was Donald Trump about whether or not he could be compromised by the Kremlin or compromised by a foreign country, foreign leaders. Drew Holden points out, headlines are an editorial choice. Right? The headlines, we are told, are never written by the reporters. But you never get to know who writes the headlines. Nobody ever cops to writing the headline. And oftentimes the headlines are the most egregiously biased things in the newspaper. I've said this for years, right? You never had a paper boy standing on the corner screaming out, "Absolutely nothing happened today. Read all about it." They're always screaming something above the fold, headline, headline, read all about it. Here's today's latest outrage, right? The press spoke functionally in unison. And what they said was, do not pay attention to that laptop. It's Russian disinformation. I am curious whether there was any kind of a Streisand effect that occurred with this, right? The attempt to cover it up, the attempt to smother it and to say there's nothing there, there. Did that lead more people to it? I don't know. They then tried to disparage the laptop's legitimacy and undermine its legitimacy by saying, oh, Rudy Giuliani's involved. Can't trust him. Or Emma Jo Morris, who I think, yes, should get a Pulitzer for the work that she did on this story. But in her past, she used to work for Fox News host Sean Hannity. And so you definitely can't trust anything she says, even though she's now a journalist at the New York Post. See, the changing of professions is only allowable if you're on the left. Then you can go from journalism to the White House and back again, and that's fine. But how dare you work as a producer on a Fox News program and then try to be a journalist? Mm-mm, can't have that. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Drew Holden writing at his Substack about losing sight of the actual story regarding the Hunter Biden laptop, which, yes, resulted in the gun charges conviction, because without the laptop, you would not have had the gun conviction, right? But the actual story was about the corruption, the influence peddling operation that was begun when Joe Biden was nearing the twilight of his vice presidency. I've said this for years. It's very obvious to me, at least, what the most likely explanation is, because I am an Occam's razor kind of a guy, right, John Moore?
Yeah.
There you go. Triple blades. The most obvious, simplest explanation is probably the correct one, right? And there's a reason why when you're looking to move out of the vice presidency and Hillary Clinton is lined up to be the next president and everybody thinks she's going to win, you got to find something else to do to keep bringing in the paycheck. And so what do you do? Well, you can't just go be a lobbyist. You're the former vice president. He could have done that before he took the VP gig, right? He could have left the Senate, become a lobbyist, made a whole bunch of money, but he couldn't. He didn't. He became vice president. So what are you going to do? Well, you've got all of these people that you know, so you can kind of sort of be a lobbyist. And you want to get that operation off the ground. And it just so happens that your brother, he's been in this line of work for a while, selling access to you. So get Hunter involved too, and now you can make these introductions and such, and you can start generating this revenue that Hunter is now washing through all the different LLCs. When you look at the number of LLCs, there's like 2 dozen of them, and the money being transferred in and around and stuff. The whole point, and they say in one of the messages in the laptop was, by the time they find out, by the time this gets unwound, it'll be a decade down the road. They thought, had, here's the thing. But for Hunter Biden leaving the laptop at that repair shop, we never would have had all of the information we have now. You could not have pieced this together otherwise. Time Magazine, Drew Holden writes, Time Magazine, they took further issue with the location of the information. Ukraine, specifically, where selling private information had become, quote, Ukraine's national sport, according to an expert that was cited by Time Magazine. See, back before the country's flag dotted the lawns and Facebook profiles of everybody, right? Information out of Ukraine and from Ukrainians was seen as suspect, or sus, as the kids call it. It was sus. Because it came from Ukraine. You couldn't trust that. The Economist publication, they claimed that the takeaway from all of this is that the alleged story about Hunter Biden indicated the, quote, diminishing returns to disinformation, because nobody believed it. See, the media was so good at stopping disinformation that they managed to stop a real story that was inconvenient for the Democrat candidate for president. I'm sure it was completely coincidental, right? Was that due to ignorance? Was that due to the laziness of the journalists at these major publications and outlets that they just didn't want to be bothered? They couldn't be bothered tracking this stuff down. Bias-motivated reasoning. Right? You didn't want it to be true, so it was easier for you to believe that it's not true. So just, you know, disregard any of the information, disregard any of the facts, don't even bother looking at it, and then cite the letter from the 51, you know, wizened old intel chiefs and such, and say, oh, they say it's Russian disinformation. So you call it that, and you are now engaged in a disinformation operation that benefits the Democrat Party. Oh, it's funny how that works out like that. Always works out that way. The press appears to have made the very same mistake that they alleged the Washington Post, or the New York Post made, rather, in its initial story, that they trusted and repeated false information that confirmed their narrative. He goes on to say later, and again, I'm giving you just the highlights here. It's worth checking out. It's at substack.com. Drew Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N is his name. After the election, even mainstream outlets started then to back away from their original stories on this. I remember covering this at the time that the New York Times quietly retracted their story, claiming that the New York Post article was, quote, unsubstantiated. And then Hunter Biden admitted that the laptop might be his. Maybe. I'm not saying it's not. Eventually, the Washington Post admitted in their reporting that the laptop did in fact belong to Hunter Biden and was not simply a right-wing fever dream. The real legwork of journalism came mostly from conservative media. Right? The takeaway here is that the laptop is real, it was real, and it indicts President Biden. That has always been the story. The Washington Examiner, in 2022, conducted a forensic examination of the laptop and determined that it was, quote, indisputably authentic and not hacked. See, if you're the Washington Post or the New York Times or the LA Times or NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CBS, if you're any of these outlets, if you don't ever go and check, then you get to continue on blissfully ignorant as to whether or not it's legitimate. In 2023, then, we had whistleblower reports that confirmed that the Department of Justice knew the laptop was not manipulated and that the DOJ knew this all the way back in 2019. But the DOJ allowed the public to believe otherwise, which is quite a different approach than they took in 2020, in October, when the intelligence chiefs all came out and said, this is probably Russian disinformation, right? We don't want the public being misinformed or disinformed. We have a responsibility to state our opinion on the matter. Meanwhile, they had the laptop, and they knew it was true. They knew it was real. They didn't have a responsibility to tell us that, though. And Merrick Garland has the nerve to stand up there and say that they don't approach any of their investigations with bias or political motivations, please. Like, that statement that he gave yesterday and I played in the last hour, that might work for somebody who was born today. I'm not that person. If I was, that would be really amazing that I have such a wide vocabulary already, really. And a full head of hair. Yeah. Wrapping up this piece from Drew Holden. Again, substack.com, drewholden.substack.com. Highly recommend it. A lot more information than I've just covered, obviously, in the last 45 minutes. The fiction of what the laptop story was about and what it wasn't supposed to be about, like pay no attention to the corruption, and this is Russian disinformation. That fiction about Russian disinformation, that was concocted by the now Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. He was then a member of the Biden campaign, key member, and the purpose was to put distance between Biden, Joe Biden, and a damaging story that the team could not rebut on the merits. Former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell told the House Judiciary Committee in a closed-door interview that he organized a group of 50 former intel officials to sign the letter after discussions with Blinken, who served on the Biden campaign. Republicans on the committee revealed details of the interview in a letter to Blinken, which claims the Biden campaign's actions, quote, had the effect of helping to suppress the Hunter Biden story and preventing American citizens from making a fully informed decision during the 2020 presidential election. In January of this year, Biden's own Department of Justice referenced the laptop in the case against Hunter Biden, again, saying under oath that the laptop was legitimate and that the contents matched Hunter Biden's iCloud and other known accounts. And then the icing on the cake came last week when the Biden DOJ introduced the laptop, the same piece of metal that was once supposedly a Russian hoax. They entered it into evidence in the case against Hunter Biden. The same Biden administration who had fought tooth and nail to bury the laptop as disinformation was now relying on it as a definitive source of evidence under oath about Hunter Biden. It's hard to envision a narrative more fully eviscerated, he says. I am reminded of the quote from the late Harry Reid, who said about his lies about Mitt Romney not paying his income taxes. He said, quote, "We didn't win, did he?" Right? The ends justify the means here. It's all good. Don't worry. We lied about it. We kept the information from people. And okay, maybe the president is compromised. But Trump didn't win, did he? Right? That's the goal. Lost in the shuffle is the key detail that the allegations of corruption against President Biden was the focus of the original story. Instead, the story became about Russian disinformation, Hunter's lurid photos, drug addiction, media bias, the actions of the social media companies. It should have been that the soon-to-be president, while he was vice president, pressured a foreign government to remove a prosecutor who was threatening his son's professional interests, and he did so after meeting with the people who were paying his son, and that the son had arranged the meeting. It should have been about corruption and abuse of power. Voters should have known that before they went to the polls. And in fact, surveys in 2022 found that 80% of respondents thought Trump would have won if voters knew the full story. And that included two-thirds of Democrats who said it would have changed their votes. Now, it's impossible to know for sure, of course, how many people actually would have been swayed by the facts. But in an election that was ultimately decided by fewer than 50,000 votes, it's hard to write off the possibility that the actions of the press moved the needle. You talk about election interference and the democracy and disinformation and Russian collusion. I mean, what else can you call what the mainstream media did here besides election interference? It's the same story with the Steele dossier. Holden concludes his piece. The American press buried a story about high-level corruption involving one of the two candidates for president. They did it the month before an election at the behest of that candidate's campaign because Blinken was the one that organized the letter. They pushed an invented lie and they hid from voters the explosive allegations that Americans are dispositionally drawn to, which is allegations of corruption among the elites. This was a terrible storyline, a terrible storyline for the candidate, Joe Biden. Whether true or not, right? Whether you could try to deny it and say, "Oh, I didn't do that. It was because Viktor Shokin, the Ukrainian prosecutor, he wasn't doing enough. That's why I said they had to fire him," right? Whatever the BS story they come up with, whether or not the allegations and the connections were made, whatever, there was something nefarious and influence peddling and all of that doesn't matter. The point was the story of the allegation was toxic for the Biden campaign. The president, the press, they put their collective thumb on the scales and ended up winning the election by a narrow margin of key voters in swing states. Only thereafter did the details of the corruption start to leak out in the mainstream press without any accountability, no apologies. No, like, "Oh, we got this wrong." Let's take a look at why we got it wrong. Oh, let's return that Pulitzer, right? No, 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 nothing like that. And the only reason they did so was because the evidence became so overwhelming that it was, in fact, a legitimate laptop. And all of this now leads me to wonder, should I support Donald Trump just to punish these people for this crap? All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.